Human researchers have pondered the question of artificial intelligence for thousands of years. While AI is nothing new, it entered our lives in a new way when ChatGPT was introduced to the public in November of 2022. That was when artificial intelligence became science fact and a fact of life for all. I'm WBBM Noon Business Hour host Rob Hart, and we talk about the present and future of artificial intelligence with RJ Hadavi of the foot traffic analysis firm Placer AI on this week's edition of At Issue. RJ, thank you for joining us today on At Issue.
Thank you. Thank you, Rob.
Now, 2 years ago, we had a panel discussion on the website where we talked about AI friend or foe. This was in the spring of 2023. And one of the insights back then on that panel discussion was that the field of artificial intelligence was changing so quickly that everything we discussed back then would seem dated almost overnight. So 2 years later in 2025, how have things changed in the world of AI?
I think it really has changed quite a bit from those 2 years. And I think a lot of the things we discussed back then, we were at the very early days of AI implementation. I don't think we realized how quickly consumers would adopt it and find new use cases for it. And I think that's really been the surprising part, is that we've really broken down that barrier for everyday use. Consumers are using it from planning vacations, making dinnertime decisions. They're using it for job applications, for job searches. Everyday household and consumer tasks that they're using it for, I think that's really where the biggest surprise. We talked about a kind of bigger picture, more corporate, more enterprise type use cases. The fact that we've seen so much consumer adoption and continue to see it across so many different functions, I think is the really exciting and maybe even a little bit scary part of it too here.
Now, you work at a place called Placer AI.
Yep.
AI, artificial intelligence, that's in the name of the company.
Yes.
So how does Placer AI use artificial intelligence to sort through and organize all of this visitation data that you talk about on the Noon Business Hour?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So Placer AI, we're a location-based analytics company powered by mobile data. Essentially, what that means is we can come up with foot traffic estimates for any physical place in the United States, whether that's an individual retail store, shopping mall, WBBM headquarters, whatever you can draw a shape around on a map, downtown Chicago. The way it works is we work with about 50 different mobile app companies, and through those app partnerships, we get 24/7 data on a panel of 25 to 30 million devices at any given time. Now, as you might imagine, that's a lot of information. 30 million devices, monitoring those constantly. Importantly, we don't get any personal information. We just get the fact that a device went into a certain geofence that we draw around a map. That's a lot of data. So what we do from that data, take that sample, those observations, there's no way we're ever going to get 100%. Frankly, we don't want 100% coverage of every single person. We just want a small enough sample that we can take AI and machine learning and then extrapolate from that sample to come up with that estimate for that physical place. Now, that helps us unlock a lot of things with our customers, help them make better real estate decisions, better marketing decisions. Pick out what markets they want to go into, what sites within those markets they want to go to, better understand how their competition, better understand how consumer behavior is changing. 2025 has been a big year of inflection for consumer behavior. We're doing things differently because of tariffs and immigration headlines and consumer protests and other things like that. And so it really helps a lot of businesses stay ahead of these changes in consumer behavior. And I think that's the exciting part. But effectively, our data, the way we use AI and machine learning, is a way to harness and better distill all those data points. And I think a lot of companies, that's one of the things they're using it for, particularly on the technology front, is be able to take these big data sets and really come down and make something more meaningful, more actionable out of them.
But that discussion we had back in 2023, I think the reason why everybody talks about AI now is that at the end of 2022, that was when ChatGPT was first introduced in a product the public could use in a free manner. And obviously, you had been working with AI before that.
Yeah.
So when we're saying, like, oh, AI is brand new, I'm guessing your reaction was, well, where have you been?
Yeah. We were AI before it was cool, I guess. So, it has been interesting to see that. Yes, AI has been around before ChatGPT. But again, to their credit, it was the first one that was really adopted by the masses. And now we've seen other platforms come to the to fruition as well. And I think it's exciting. And again, you see all these different use cases. I do think it's made people a lot more productive, helped them in everyday lives. But, you know, there's also times where, you know, if people are using it to, you know, basically plagiarize others and stuff like that, that's where it gets scary. So it'll be interesting to see kind of the regulatory side. I know that's what we talked about a bit 2 years ago and how that may be evolving in the years ahead. But it is interesting and you know, a lot of new frontiers being breached here.
Well, I think it's interesting. And we'll talk about some of the ethical considerations in a couple later on in the program. But it's interesting you talk about how once this was introduced to the public in a way that was easily accessible for everybody, regardless of age, there are 77-year-olds who use ChatGPT. My daughter's going to turn 12. She uses ChatGPT as part of her daily internet life. That's, as far as she's concerned, it's always been there. And with this wide group of users utilizing ChatGPT, other large language models over the course of their day, whether personally or professionally, we're starting to see use cases, as you mentioned, that were probably above and beyond what the programmers and designers envisioned.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. There's a lot of things out there. And again, the sky's the limit. But, you know, as we start to move away from just, you know, language models and generative AI. I think that's pretty much where I would say the bulk of consumers, really, that's the extent of use cases they've had, to more agential AI and things like that, instead of just putting out put together a new resume for me, or, you know, help me with my kid's homework. I think we're moving into, you know, do some chores for me, do some shopping for me, do some other things. These things where you can tell AI to go do something for you. That can be really exciting. I think that's where we start to get even more adoption. I think that's where we start to see some really new use cases come out, just beyond generative AI. And so some of these really interesting, just, you know, kind of the earlier stage, newer platforms, newer use cases, I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens with that. Yeah, because it is a dual-edged sword in this one, too, because we start to do some of this, you do run the risk of making some of the functions that, you know, daily jobs obsolete here, too. So it'll be interesting to see. But I think that's going to be an interesting one to keep an eye on. So as we see new use cases, not just kind of personal, professional, but really advanced things, that it starts to kind of take on a role of its own and just, you know, command it to do something and it does it.
Well, let's talk about the elephant in the room then, is like, will AI take my job? And that is something I have heard in practically every conversation, regardless of what you do for a living, whether you're a radiologist or a dentist or an accountant. The joke is, well, I'm just doing this until AI takes my job away. So how much of this is just being funny and how much of that is whistling past the graveyard?
It's a good question. And I honestly don't think we fully have that answer right now, too, to be honest. I think some of this will take time. I mean, what I've heard from a lot of people, as long as I know how to work with AI, at least I'm good. But that may change, and that could happen pretty quickly, too. You know, as we move into agential AI and other things like that, where, you know, effectively you give a task to whatever the platform and they do it, it gets a lot easier to envision situations where a lot of jobs could be obsolete. So it'll be interesting to see. I mean, I honestly don't think we have a clear picture at this point, because we will start to see, you know, potentially regulation and things like that front to be put on. But I think at this point, I mean, I think for anybody, as you mentioned, there really are a lot of people using it in a lot of different use cases. It's good to have familiarity. Don't be afraid of AI. You know, go out and try things with it. Like, we've been telling people, you know, one of the hardest things that we see with a lot of the retailers and restaurants we work with is, we have foot traffic data. Well, how does that work with other data sets? Well, go try one of these AI platforms. Just put in the data, see what happens, see what it says. Don't be afraid to experiment with it a little bit. And I think if nothing else, it gives you at least familiarity that, you know, helps you as you kind of think to the future, which will certainly, AI will be part of it. You need to have at least some familiarity and, you know, ability to make it work for your own advantages here.
I think the concern about when AI evolves into the next thing above and beyond the large language models, the generative AI that we're used to now, is this the thing that will take your job away, or is this another productivity tool? Because you and I are speaking in a radio studio that, you know, has microphones. Those are that's the tried and true technology. There's the mixing board that's always been here. But now you have three computer monitors where 30 years ago, there would be several banks of tape recorders and cartridge recorders and a rack of cartridges on the wall. And that was, those were the tools of the trade in broadcasting 30 years ago. And now all of this has been shrunk into a computer. And I don't think anybody in radio is pining for the good old days of physically cutting tape with a razor blade and grease pencils, but because we take advantage of all these productivity tools. So what's the difference between, let's say, the potentially harmful effects of AI on your job versus is AI just simply another tool like QuickBooks or Lotus Notes or something that was designed to just take the paper out of your life?
Yeah, and as a former Wall Street analyst, I mean, I can tell you that, you know, having a tool like, you know, some of the AI platforms that are out there would have been invaluable. I mean, it just makes you more productive. It lets you, in theory, free up more time to you know, do other things or explore other areas of analysis. I've seen some really, really cool use cases that we've seen, not only using our data, but incorporating AI in other ways to kind of get better understanding for, you know, the Wall Street analysts that we work with and the customers on that front. So I definitely think there is a productivity side to this. I think that absolutely this is going to make our lives easier. And no matter what field you're in, I think there's probably an AI application. But we are reaching the point too where people have had enough experience. And I think, you know, honestly, consumers get time strapped, employees get time strapped. They look for shortcuts and things like that. So there is the side of it that too could be, it could be exploited. It could be, there's some areas where, deep fakes and other things like that, that could potentially, cause trouble too. So I think it's gonna be interesting to kind of keep an eye on. I mean, I think certainly there's both sides of it too. I think there's absolutely a productivity angle here. But I do think there is a risk of more nefarious uses and potentially over time as this becomes more widespread and the models get better at assimilating data, putting it all together, there is a risk that we may see some jobs become obsolete as well.
You're listening to At Issue on WBBM News Radio. I'm Rob Hart. We're talking about the present and future of AI, artificial intelligence. We're talking about AI on AI, artificial intelligence on At Issue with RJ Hadavi, head of analytical research at the Palo Alto-based foot traffic analysis firm Placer AI. Let's talk about some of the nefarious uses for artificial intelligence, because the one thing we discussed 2 years ago was the speed at which AI could understand a social media algorithm would allow a nefarious actor to push disinformation into the online content bloodstream. And you've seen it here and there. But the one thing I have noticed, and I'm sure you've seen this too, with the rise of what they call AI slop image accounts on Facebook and elsewhere, is the lack of sophistication and the willingness of people to believe it just because they want to.
Yeah.
And this, I don't know if you've seen this, but the new genre that I love is Peyton Manning superhero. is these images of Peyton Manning doing something very heroic, doing something very kind for somebody. Now, I don't doubt Peyton Manning is probably a very good guy and has a big heart. But he's not doing the things that these social media posts are saying that he's doing, but people believe them just because they want to. So how much of this is someone using AI for nefarious means, and how much of this is just on us for falling for this stuff?
Honestly, it's probably a little from column A, a little bit from column B on that one. I think it's obviously both. I mean, it takes two sides to make something like that happen. Obviously, there is the element of, you know, some of the things we've seen, like you said, deep fake creation, image manipulation. And that's kind of the interesting area where it's starting to be very interesting, some of the developments on that front, because we have seen positive use cases. There's certainly a lot of companies out there using it, AI created images for marketing and other purposes as well, which, you know, that's great. But there also can be a downside to that as well, which we've seen in more politically and other sensitive topics, that seen use cases that misinformation, I think, is, you know, kind of the prime example here. But you're absolutely right. I mean, there is an element that takes some of that. You have to believe it too. And that's going to be a big challenge too, I think, in the years to come, is, you know, how to put guardrails on that, how to make sure, people, at least, you know, can find credible sources through all the clutter out there. And that's going to be the real challenge. And we'll be interested to see how that develops.
It's we talk about regulation, and we live in a world of just open source media. It's the traditional gatekeepers are breaking down. And the one thing I have come to realize that a lot of media regulation was dependent upon the free market and the ability of actors to actually jump into public discourse. Because if you wanted to have a megaphone, you had to own a radio station, you had to own a newspaper, you had to be the head of a TV network, and you had to be the head of a network news division. And that required a lot of work and a lot of money and a lot of credentials to pull that off. And as a result, your discourse was governed by, will this help us make money?
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, a lot of things that were on the fringes of society stayed there because, by and large, it wasn't profitable. It harmed your standing in the community. Those barriers have broken down.
Yeah,
completely. And you can get an audience for saying anything by any means. And with that open source nature of media, which is probably just going to get even more confusing when you add AI into the mix, is it possible to be regulated?
That's a great question. And honestly, it may not be. I think there's certainly some guardrails. It's one thing for regulation to be enacted, another to be regulated. I think certainly there's an opportunity for regulations to be put in place. But to your point, it's very difficult to enforce these. And it may not be. I mean, it may end up being something that us individuals kind of self-police in a lot of ways too, which is kind of a scary thought at the same time. But it could develop into something like that too. So it may not be. It may not be something that can be completely regulated. I think certain aspects, to your point, I think there's certain barriers that can be put back up on some of these things. But again, cat's out of the bag in a lot of cases here.
And is it possible for that regulation to come from the legislative branch or the judicial branch? Because they're one of the legendary quotes in internet culture nearly 20 years ago was the late Alaska Senator Ted Stevens referring to the internet as a series of tubes. And that was a demonstration that that some people interpreted that as lawmakers were out of touch in trying to regulate what the internet had become and was continuing to evolve into. And you probably need someone who has some savvy to understand the issues before you can implement regulations.
Yeah, I think that's right. And at some point, I think the government, whatever branch it might be, will probably have to lean on some outside sources on that one too. I think that's certainly that. There's enough people, enough groups that are starting to, have been around and doing AI for a long period of time now. It probably helps to have some experts in the field and probably multiple to kind of help shape regulation on this front too. And like any policy, like you would bring in outside experts to kind of help shape this. So I don't think it's solely on the responsibility of the government to do this.
On the other hand, I think this is a moment of tremendous opportunity for everybody because we look back on, over the course of my professional life, there have been two major disruptions brought about by technology. I mean, first off in the 90s, just the internet coming on the scene and having a high-speed data line in your house, making the internet more accessible and faster, that was certainly a great leap forward as far as productivity was concerned. And then 10 years later, Facebook and Twitter and other social media applications upending the ways in which we talk to each other. And sometimes you can look back on those two earthquakes and say, boy, I didn't really see it coming. But now this is here. This AI is here. So this is your opportunity to be on top of something or ahead of it.
Yeah, I agree with you too. And I would agree that those were two major milestones in the development of not only technology, but in terms of consumer behavior and interaction. Certainly sped up a lot of things, the way we communicate. Trends happen faster than ever before. What was popular 2 minutes ago may be outdated by the time you finish that sentence. It has been pretty amazing to see how that's changed. And when we look at our foot traffic data, we see it too. Social media and the way we communicate with one another can absolutely change things in a hurry. Now, to your point, I mean, I think AI, I mean, this is something that you may feel like you're already 2 years behind if you haven't ever played around with one of the open language models out there, ChatGPT, Perplexity, one of the other ones out there. But there's still opportunities. It doesn't take much to get into it. It takes just an open mind and a willingness to experiment with the platform. And generally, I mean, when people try it for the first time, they get something out of it. They get at least some idea of what's potential, what's potentially possible with this. And so I think you're right. I think this idea that, you know, we a lot of people, you know, get stubborn in their ways and feel like, you know, I can't learn anything new. I think that's the exciting part. One of the exciting parts about, you know, AI and some of these models is the ability to learn and kind of put together a way to kind of expand your skill set. I mean, who wouldn't want to the opportunity to speak a new language or to, you know, be able to understand a new function. In a lot of ways, you know, we talked about jobs being obsolete. AI can be a way to counter that. Maybe pick up a new skill, maybe figure out a new procedure, new process. So it can be a way to counter a lot of the fears that we're talking about here.
Well, to backtrack on the AI making jobs obsolete, I'll tell you one thing that AI has already done, and I'm sure that the industry has noticed this. It's made traditional search obsolete.
Yeah.
The whole idea of let me Google something and I'll get the answer. And because of paid links being up top and a lot of search engine optimization gaming, I have found that the traditional internet search doesn't give you what you're looking for. As opposed to ChatGPT, which is a lot sleeker and gives you the thing that you want.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that we are seeing a pivotal moment for search engines here because we have seen, at least from what I've seen with other data, a big shift towards that, and a lot of people using ChatGPT, Perplexity, Gemini, and others to put together not only better search, but more productive. And again, planning your vacation instead of just being able to search for hotels and things like that. No, hey, put together a full itinerary for this trip, and it's amazing what you come up with. And these things. So I think you're exactly right. We are kind of seeing a pivotal inflection point for where we are with search. And obviously a lot of the search companies are also in AI development as well. So I think they'll kind of move with it. But I think we are seeing a pretty meaningful shift on that front.
We're talking about AI, artificial intelligence on AI at Issue on WBBM News Radio. Thank you for listening. I'm Rob Hart, host of the Noon Business Hour, joined by RJ Hadavi, head of analytical researcher at the Palo Alto-based foot traffic analysis firm Placer AI. Now, when we talk about some of the potential downsides from artificial intelligence, we're dealing with large language models right now. What's the next step? What is the next phase of AI that we will experience?
Yeah, I think it really is more moving from generative AI again, which is something where you basically create something with that. So, hey, create a travel itinerary, create an article about this. I want to learn about this particular Civil War battle, things like that, that you can pull out to more of a kind of do it for me type thing. So, kind of do it yourself in terms of generating something to do it for me. Hey, order me that new sweater or, schedule that appointment with a doctor. I think that's kind of the big shift that we're seeing. And it's already somewhat out there, but I think that adoption curve is going to be the next one to kind of really fall down, that the barriers to that being, being the big one. I don't know when the timing of that is. It's probably, in the next 12, maybe even sooner, 12 months to 18 months, I think we'll start to see a lot more adoption on the agential AI. So I think that's a big one from there. The other one too, I think what we're starting to see is some of these AI models being able to consolidate big data across different sources. That's been one of the big challenges I think a lot of groups have had. AI is great. It helps me with my everyday tasks. But in terms of all the data that's being thrown at me as a whatever professional position you have as a company, that's still difficult to really pull that in. We've got this a lot of data, but to actually extract that and be able to put that into something meaningful, that's been a more of a challenge. And I think some of that's starting to become easier and something that everybody who doesn't have a data science degree has the ability to start to tackle on their own. So I think that's going to be the next big frontier to tackle is both agential AI and being able to manipulate big data sets using AI. I think those are the ones that really seem like the next, in terms of what's needed out there and people's willingness to kind of make that happen, as well as the investment that goes into that.
Now, if you talk to some people at the higher echelons of tech, they seem to believe that they attribute almost godlike qualities to AI, what it is and what it can be. And they seem to believe that it could be the next step in our evolution. Now, is this just a couple of billionaires getting high on their own supply? Or is there something to that?
I think it could unlock a lot of potential. I mean, I'm not going to go as far to say it's going to be the next evolution point, but already in a short period of time with the, to your point earlier about just being able, the ability for consumers to easily adopt this, It really has changed a lot of the ways people go about their daily lives. And so I think this could be a seminal moment. I really do think it could be the, you know, thinking back the last 30, 40 years in terms of, you know, technology developments, you know, internet, you know, being one of them, and then social media, it really could be the next major milestone that we see in terms of way, you know, it really changed how we interact, better or worse. It really changed a consumer behavior. It really does take a seismic technology or seismic change for consumers to really change their behavior. If you think about it, you know, it took COVID for a lot of us to change the way we interact and do mobile ordering and drive through and, you know, at least, you know, more proficiently. And so I think something like this, it really has the ability to make major changes in the way consumers do. So I'm not quite ready to say evolutionary, but I think it will certainly have a lasting impact. And we think, you know, 10, 20 years from now, we'll look back that as one of the major milestones in the development of technologies and consumer and human interaction.
As AI continues to evolve, who's going to lead the way? Is it going to be the engineer? Is it going to be the programmer? Or is it going to be the user? Is there some 14-year-old out there who is just noodling around with ChatGPT and will develop the next big use case for it?
I think it's probably all of the above. I think it's going to be a push-pull model. I mean, I think, you know, certainly some of the engineers and programmers have led the way. But with any new technology, it spurs on the need for new solutions. And I think that, you know, some of that will come from the consumer side, understanding, you know, hey, this would be great, or, you know, what types of products are possible? Is this possible to make? And so I think some of this will be consumer led too. And, you know, even just not only, you know, in terms of asking what's possible, but also coming up with on their own. I think this is another way that, you know, we can see consumers learning some of this technology and really experimenting with it. To your point, this is not just limited for data scientists and for you know, people with a technology background. This has really broken down the barriers and unlocked the ability for people to experiment with on their own. And so I do think we're going to see a lot of people, you know, a lot of consumers be at the impetus for some of the changes that we see and kind of guiding this forward alongside product, the, you know, programmers and engineers as well.
And then the final question for you, and that is, if we revisit this conversation in 2027, how dated will these insights be 2 years from now?
There's a good chance a lot of what we're talking about is going to be obsolete. And, you know, we can look back on this and laugh and say, what were we thinking? But yeah, I think some of this will hold true. I mean, like anything, I mean, I think some of the broader strokes, you know, we talk about, well, that's certainly got the potential to remain, you know, at least here and now. But I think some of the, you know, the more minutiae, I mean, some of the stuff, honestly, we may not even know some of the technology that's being out there and being worked on. And I mean, as quickly as some consumers picked up on the generative AI models, I mean, you could see widespread adoption. So I'd like to think of what we're talking about is going to be accurate, but, you know, it is, and maybe we need to ask AI. You know, maybe that's the next question, just asking that and see what its predictions are and getting that. So we'll see. I guess time will tell.
For someone who is listening to this program and they don't really know yet what to make of AI, they've dabbled in it a little bit, but they're concerned about what it means for the future. How do you address some of those concerns?
That's a good question. And I don't think, you know, you're going to be completely able to alleviate all those concerns. I mean, I think some of those concerns are always going to be in the background. And I think that just comes with any technology. I mean, I think there were some concerns, you know, when the internet first came around, I think there was some concerns, social media came around. There's always a risk with that. And so with any new technology, that's part of it. But I also think that just being afraid of it is not the right approach either here. I think that being willing to experiment and, you know, maybe push the boundaries a little bit more with this and, hey, if this worked, well, what if I do this? Being willing to take that next step and ask that next question, I think is really important here as well.
RJ Hadavi of the Palo Alto, California foot traffic analysis firm Placer AI, thank you for joining us this week on At Issue. If you want to hear this program again, you can do so at WBBMNewsRadio.com, the Odyssey app, and now the iHeartRadio app. Join us next week for another edition of At Issue. Until then, I'm Rob Hart, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.